My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, D'Amico Ryan's University School in Ohio, where Figgy Fig was a high school student back in the day.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
You weren't. What does it cost, I wonder?
I don't even want to know, man. I went to a free 99 school, a public school. We actually drove past my old school. It was tore down.
Oh, really?
They tore it down. It's nothing but an empty field. I'm like, dang, I used to go to school right there. But right. But yeah, that school out in the, it's kind of in the city.
Yeah.
But
it's covered.
In like a certain part of the city, it's like woods.
It's the good side of the tracks.
Yeah. No, so it's a big school.
All right. Texans wrapped up their first practice. This is D'Amico Ryan's right after.
Great. How you guys doing?
Does Nick call a play, or does he have some requests back on his old stomping ground?
We're excited to be here, hanging out in Cleveland, being able to get away. You know, first off, get away from the heat for a little bit. So I think our guys appreciate, you know, this weather and this climate, being able to be here. So it's a really great facility here. Thankful for University School for allowing us to utilize their fields.
Had a big event, obviously, with Hall of Fame game, Hall of Fame weekend. It's a bonding time for the team to get some extended time this week.
Yeah, getting away for a weekend camp, the most important thing about it is you see guys communicate more. You see guys just hanging out more in the meal room, just talking, playing video games together. So that's that's what you want as a coach. You want to see your team grow a tighter bond when you're on the road for a week. And that's what our guys are doing. And I'm excited. That's what I'm probably most excited about, is seeing our guys just become tighter as a team. And the tighter we are, I always speak this, the tighter you are as a team, the better your team is, the farther you can go as a team when you have that tight bond.
Do you feel like this was probably one of the better practices the offense had, with the exception of the interception?
I think overall it was a very competitive practice. Our offense, you think you saw a lot of big plays that our offense made. That's what we want to see. But it's just execution was higher today on both sides of the football. And to see our guys compete, right, guys be sticky in coverage, see the offense still make plays, like that's what I want to see. I want to see a competitive team, and that's what you saw today. And it's always fun to see our offense making big plays.
Coach, when you talk to you a lot about Aziz, of course, but I mean, today he was all over the field. What did you see from him during practice?
Yeah, I saw Aziz being like the guy that I know he is, the playmaking leader that he is, right? And that's what I expect from Aziz, and he showed that today in practice. It was good to see him, you know, flying around. I think he intercepted one, making some big tackles. So it was just fun to see him being who he should be for us, and that's a leader, that's a playmaker.
What about that leadership role that he took when, you know, Diggs and Petrie had a nice little trash talking session, and then he went over to Petrie just to calm him down? It's good to see that type of leadership from him.
That's awesome. That's why now I can step away, and I can move on to the next part of practice, because I know our guys are so competitive, but it's also respectful, right? With Petrie, Diggs, Aziz, like, it's all respect. Guys are really, they're sharpening each other. Like, guys are really competing, giving their ultimately their best. And now Diggs is making Petrie better. Petrie is making Diggs better. And Aziz is there to calm everybody down. So it's really fun to see.
What have you seen from Cade so far, with the game and the practices and everything?
Cade has been, the guy we saw on tape in Ohio, just tough, right? Making tough competitive catches, right? Finishing strong with the football, like the couple plays he made in the game, you know, last Thursday. It was just, it's cool to see a guy, like, you see him in practice, but you never quite know how they're going to respond when they get in the game. But it was cool to see Cade just be who Cade has been. Tough, physical, competitive, finishing, like, loving football. That's the Cade I knew and I grew to love watching him at Ohio State. And that's the guy who showed up in the Hall of Fame game.
How Blake Fisher looked to you coming out of Thursday? Sort of breaking it down. You saw some things he needs to work on, but no pre-snap issues.
Right. Yeah, overall from the game, I'm pleased with what Blake did in the game. I think he held his own. Again, like everyone, is not 100%. It was things to clean up just with pad leverage, just getting Blake to do a better job of bending, right? But he has the length, he has the tools, right, to play on the left side or right side, as we've seen. And I know he's benefited from being able to get a ton of reps over at the left side, and I think it'll help us as a team.
Accelerated on the job training
going up against Daniil. Going against Daniil and Will definitely speed it up for you. So the young rookie has had to learn pretty fast, and it's only made him better. And also, he's had a lot of good reps versus Daniil and Will, so he's held his own. So it hasn't just been totally one-sided as those guys have competed. So Blake has gotten better, but also Daniil and Will has gotten better from going against Blake and Titus as well.
Any update on different values of snaps in preseason games versus some of the practices? Later you'll have a joint practice. Did you kind of assign different value to types of snaps that guys get?
When it comes to the snaps and preseason thing, everybody's trying to figure out. Some teams don't play starters, some play. I truly believe in that a guy needs to get reps in a preseason game, right? We don't go to the ground, as you see, the way we practice. We try to keep guys up and be as safe as possible in practice. I think everybody needs that opportunity to go to the ground a couple times in the game to just get up, dust yourself off, and know you're good, right? And I'm okay. Like, I can go to the ground and get up. So you just have to go through and play live reps of football before live action comes in September. So you'll see our ones go out and get reps this week versus Pittsburgh.
Any update on Willie's deal? No big deal or anything?
No big deal. Those guys will be fine.
All right. All set. Thanks.
All right. Luck has nothing to do with what?
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it?
All right, you heard the best news, the biggest news right there at the end. Starters are going to play. Starters are going to play against the Steelers. Obviously, the Texans practicing this week. I believe they have three practices today, tomorrow, Wednesday, off Thursday, game against the Steelers Friday. So to me, that's huge. To me, that's really big. And D'Amico was also talking about, you know, he believes those guys need to get to the ground, you know, all the way.
Need
some snaps. I'm a big believer in reps. That's cool. But I also, like, it's going to be, okay, if this is starters, like, we're going to see.
Yeah, where Petrie going to line up?
Where's Petrie going to line up?
Is Lassiter number two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe Mixon, I guess, won't. I don't know, unless he starts practicing tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if I start Joe Mixon.
No, but here, no, I see, I. Yeah, Joe Mixon, yes.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. We're going to, with CJ Stroud.
They're going to play.
We're going to see it.
Yeah.
We're going to see it. And you guys are going to see what we've seen in practice. Like, it's awesome to watch what these guys can do, what CJ Stroud can do with these three.
I'm using real game loosely, but in the actual
game. Well, they're going to go.
Yeah. In the actual game, I want to see them.
I mean, it doesn't matter, and maybe, you know, you make some decisions that you wouldn't make in a regular season game and no game plan, but when they're running, they're going. And that also tells me that, you know, because a lot of people know this, maybe some don't. The coaches talk before every preseason game. So he's talked with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Says, I'm going to go with my starters.
Yeah.
That means
so
Mike Tomlin
he's
is
probably,
too.
Yeah, he's probably going to go with his starters too. I'm interested to see what the Pittsburgh Steelers look like too, as far as quarterback, and see how Justin Fields look.
Hey, so, around the NFL is going to have some news about the Steelers.
That might be a competition.
Steelers and a certain receiver named Brandon Ayuk might be getting interesting here pretty soon.
Okay.
That might be getting interesting. So offensive line. I guess that – is Laramie going to play? I think so. He might practice tomorrow.
I will – he probably will play. I can see him playing.
I think he wants to get the starting. You just heard D'Amico. Like, I'm a big believer in this. So that means they're probably talking to Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so he probably going to play.
Now, it'll be a little bit interesting to see if, the Joe Mixon thing, without getting the reps, that's going to be interesting.
Is his injury a little more serious than we
think? I thought.
Because he haven't practiced at all.
Yeah. See, I thought he was going to take the practice field today. To me, I'm glad you brought that up. Because to me, the Joe Mixon thing, he looked like he was 100% out at the field. He looked like he could do anything. He was doing all the drills with Laremy Tunsil on the side. He just wasn't participating. So I was thinking last week, I'll bet you they're just giving him, you know, running back. They get beat up. Just giving him the Laremy Tunsil treatment, letting him work on the side, and then ramp things up this week after the first preseason game or the Hall of Fame game. But that might be a little bigger news now than I thought.
Yeah, I think
not huge, but a little bigger.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a little concerned. Like, man, is this something serious? I'm sure. I know he gonna be good to go week one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, man, is it this series where he could potentially miss some games?
Yeah.
Then we got to see what's up with Pierce.
Yeah, and I know fans are real excited about the three receivers with CJ, and they should be because it's their first glimpse to see what we've seen.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see this defensive front against another team.
Me too.
That to me is going to be the story.
I'm fired up about the defense, man. Mm-hmm. I want to see what they do this year, man.
Yeah.
So especially the defensive line.
Will Anderson on one end, Danielle Hunter on the other. Now, D'Nico Autry has gotten suspended, but he can play in the preseason.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Then you got Christian Harris. Well, I don't know about Christian Harris, but Al-Shaair and... you're going to be really excited. Oh, what am I saying? Lassiter. Lassiter opposite Derek Stingley.
Yeah. That's going to be fun, man. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. So some of the other things that he talked about there, you know, we mentioned earlier, Jonathan Alexander is going to join us at 12:40 to talk about some details of the practice and what he expects on all these questions that we're asking. He talked about the competitive practice. It was competitive. Like Cade Stover, I guess he had his helmet knocked off or ripped off or whatever. Kind of got into it. That was dispelled real quick. Petrie and Stephon Diggs got into it a little
bit. Heated trash talk.
Yeah, heated trash talk. But D'Amico obviously wasn't concerned. Neither should you. But I'm liking what he's saying.
I like the nastiness, man. Mm-hmm. I need that on the field, man. We don't need no nice guys, man. Them days are over.
Yeah,
we need some nasty.
And then Azeez Al-Shaair. That's going to be his guy. Like Azeez.
No, I like him. I like him too. So what won me over with him was when Will Anderson was at the podium, and I actually had to dump him. But he mentioned how he jumped off of size and he was upset with himself. And then he heard Azeez say, "Stop freaking pouting." I like that. So every time I see Will Anderson, I'll be wanting to tell him, "Stop freaking pouting."
And the other thing that was interesting to me listening to D'Amico was, you know, it's like something out of Remember the Titans or, you know, whatever, you know, movie. Like you go off on training camp, you go off on a week together, and he talked about he's a big believer in the tighter bond. I mean, it is a cliche. It is kind of corny, but I think that happens.
Yeah. I think that's, I mean, we kind of laugh at it sometimes, but that's very important, man. Mm-hmm. That's very important for these guys to be close and bond together, because we've seen a lot of teams that just bring in talent and that locker room went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see when people are, you know, bonding together, people are on the same page and truly a brotherhood.
And here's the other thing that I think our listeners need to pay attention to, because he said the starters are going to play on Friday against the Steelers. Well, they do go two tight end sets. Like Dalton Schultz is the starting tight end. But I'm going to be real interested to see, as they're running with the ones, maybe they go two tight ends on a couple of plays or whatever. Is that going to be Cade Stover? Is it going to be Brevin Jordan?
Yeah.
Tegan Quatoriano?
Yeah.
I kind of expect Cade Stover.
Me too. I think he got a bit of an advantage because he, I guess, more of a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think either between him or Brevin Jordan. But I think Brevin gonna probably be the secret sauce. They gonna use him some type of different way.
More of a receiver.
Yeah, I think so. But I think I would give the edge to probably K. Stover, to be honest.
I mean, he just said it. He said he's been the guy we saw on tape. Yeah. He's made plays.
And Quentin can't stay, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would probably have to give the edge to K. Stover.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be, I mean, we're gonna talk about this all week. But it's going to be real interesting to see, like, do any of these guys get reps? You know, specifically Laremy Tunsil. Maybe they're going to sit him out again. It's going to be the starters and not Laremy Tunsil. And it's going to be the starters and not Joe Mixon. And so not the complete starter. But maybe they get in there. Like, tomorrow's practice is going to be interesting to watch.
I kind of want to see, like, if Tunsil don't play, I might be fine with it. I want to see how Blake Fisher do against some ones.
Yeah.
So if he... Like, if he can hold that side of the line okay,
mm-hmm.
then they might be in good shape in the future, man.
Yeah. And so we're going to also hear from the coordinators tomorrow about this same time, Bobby Slowick, Matt Burke, and Frank Ross. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it plays out with these starters. I'm really excited to see Cade Stover if he does break into the two tight end set. Obviously, the three wide receivers, you know, obviously C.J. Stroud. I don't know about Joe Mixon. But the other thing, you know, we talked about Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and obviously Kamari Lassiter. But, hell, man, Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
Derek Stingley against those two quarterbacks. I don't know who they're going to start at quarterback, but we'll see.
Yeah, nah, he gonna have a good year. I can't wait to see him, man. I'm super fired up about Derek Stingley.
Yeah, me too. All right, so we got a little bit of news for you guys. A little bit of news on when and how to expect In the Loop's new look. And one of the confessions I'm a little confused about, because it legitimately is this. We're going to tell you about all that and confessions next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right. Hey, first of all, the Friday's game got a little more interesting. We got starters playing on Friday. Jonathan Alexander will be joining us in about 18 minutes and such. But my first confession, I'm going to start this one with just a little update on people. If you weren't listening earlier, we've had a couple of people ask about it. I'm not going to get into all the details, but like I did earlier, but I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts. I'm excited, Figgy. I don't know about you. First of all, it's weird because like I'm so appreciative of everyone that has hopped on board this show over the last couple months. We're going to be getting the show. The announcement is coming on August 19th. So 2 weeks from today, you're going to see what the new show is going to look like. But first of all, I'm like incredibly appreciative. Like some really good dudes have stepped in here and done this show with me. I've had six different co-hosts: Sean Bajani, Mark Vandermeer, Patrick Creighton, Adam Spillane, yourself, and B. Scott. But I'm excited. It's happening. August 19th, In the Loop. We're going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, I'm super happy too, man. Can't wait to get started, man. Salute to everybody who filled in. Especially B. Scott did this.
B. Scott is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So salute to everybody who stepped in and made it a lot easier for us.
Yeah. So if you've been wondering, it's happening. And all I'll say about it in brief, I went into a little more detail about 10:20, and you can go back and listen to the Odyssey app. But all I can say is it's going to be an H-Town connection, man. That was key for all of us. A bunch of people applied. Last I heard was over 150, including some familiar names in Houston radio, which I'm not going to get into. And Youngblood, which I like, and I know you like, and that's what we wanted.
So we took a trip to Cleveland. I was with the drive, and Clint Sterner got to be the funniest person alive, man.
So good.
I like being around. I never been around Clint that much
socially.
Yeah, but nah, that is my man. He is funny as hell. So we getting on the plane, and he take a window seat, and Ron was, I want to say, I think it was Ron. Ron was in the aisle seat. And I was in the other aisle seat, so we just chilling.
Yeah.
And you know how people come on, you kind of wondering who going to take your seat and all that. This is the first time I ever seen this before, but Clint was actually trying to recruit people to sit.
That's a good idea.
It is. So he was sitting there, and he kind of scouted.
Because it's going to be a full plane anyway.
Yeah, it's a full plane. So he was like scouting somebody that was like a little slimmer.
Yeah.
So he said,
"Hey, Chief, you want to sit right here?"
That's exactly what he did. It was a slim dude walking past. He's like, "Hey, Chief, it's a seat right here." And the guy was like, "No, that's okay. I'm going to sit in the back." "Are you sure? Right here?"
That's good. Like,
"You can sit right here."
What a strategy.
Yeah. So he did that a few times. And then he finally got somebody. Ironically, it was somebody wearing the Hall of Fame Arkansas shirt.
Okay.
So he sat right next to him and got
that dude's day.
Yeah, got the talk of his ear off.
Yeah.
He started all that, but.
Or didn't maybe necessarily make Clint's day, but.
Yeah, no, Clint was actually fine with it. He knew who the guy was. He like, "Don't think I ain't recognize that voice. I know who you are, Clint."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, it was cool, but I like that recruiting strategy, man.
Hey.
Like, he tried to find like a little slim girl or whoever.
That's perfect.
Yeah. He said the worst thing is if you get a big, broad back dude that's in the middle. So he was.
I can't believe I hadn't thought of that. So Seth Payne, that reminds me, this is pre-COVID now, several years ago. He shared on air, and I've never forgotten it, his strategy on the full planes with a seat in the middle. He says he said he wanted to wear a mask. Like so to keep it, well, that guy's got the flu. I'm going to sit by him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, but that's a great strategy. Yeah. He was just like peeping out the slim girls.
Yeah.
Hey
right here. Right here. They probably thought he was a creeper, but he just wanted room.
It came off as creepy, but I'm like, that's kind of smart.
Yeah. Watch this. These
are my confessions. All right, so we heard D'Amico Ryan say that the starters are going to play, right?
Yeah.
My confession is, I don't want to see Joe Mixon play just yet.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
And the reason is because, I mean, he hasn't practiced. And why should we watch him against the Steelers? How about let's wait till, week four of the preseason?
or week one of the regular season.
Yeah. So I'm not. I would love to see him play, but I'd rather him not play.
Yeah.
I would be fine with it if we knew he was good, mm-hmm. and was just like, nah, you know, we gonna ramp him up week three of the preseason or something like that. But I wonder if he not playing because of injury.
That's the only thing
I worry about. But I agree with Chris. I don't need to see him.
Yeah, we'll find out. But it is a little more concerning now than it was on Friday. Watch this. These are my confessions. I swear to you, Figgy, you see my hand is in the air, hand up. I have a deep bone bruise.
Kyle Tucker.
Right here, you can see it. It's a little swollen. You can feel it on the bone. It's turning black and blue. So I was working on my boat and I was washing and I turned real quick to turn the hose, and I hit this piece of wood like really hard, and my hand went like kind of numb. I was like, dang it, you know how you curse when you get that. And so I was showing it to my daughter, who's a nurse. Man, it actually kind of hurts a lot right now when I touch it. And she said, that's probably a deep bone bruise. And I went, well, I'll be there on Monday. I'm showing up.
You're going to miss about 3 months.
I was just about to ask.
There's fluid and stuff. Uh-oh. I have a deep bone bruise.
Uh-oh.
I didn't miss a day, man.
You're about to miss 3 months now. I'm going to be doing the show with the new person.
I didn't miss a day. It got me thinking about Kyle Tucker. Dude broke his leg, man. He broke his leg. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Man, I hate to do this to my people up in Cleveland, up in Northeast Ohio, but they some finessers, man.
Oh, this was awesome.
They some finessers, man. So we were out doing a show in Jersey's in Canton, Ohio, and when we got there, they were charging to park. They charged $20 to park. I didn't really think none of mm-hmm. it. It was kind of weird because it's not like a downtown setting. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit residential. So it's just like, why are you charging people to park in this only parking spot right here?
Yeah.
But whatever, make your money.
Mm-hmm.
So my auntie, shout out to my auntie Cookie and my uncle Alan. They mm-hmm. showed up. And when they came in, they was trying to charge us to park. And they didn't pay. And they saw my uncle Alan had a Nick Chubb jersey.
Yeah.
So they like, all right, come on. So my sister get there and she was like, man, they tried to charge us to park. And I'm like, oh, well, we got to pay the park. And the person said, are y'all some Browns fans? I'm like, yeah. All right, y'all good. Come on in. And then one more person from Cleveland came in, and they let them go because they was Browns fans.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, why y'all finessing the city of Houston? Why y'all finessing the Texans, man? I'm like, oh, that's dirty, man. How y'all going to do that?
Dude, that is dirty.
that is dirty, man.
Dirty, dirty.
Look, I'm all about people getting their money, but, man, why y'all doing that, man?
That's, so they're like, if you're a Texans fan or not a Browns fan, it's $20.
Yeah, they've charged $20.
Because you don't know better or what?
Yeah, they literally asked my sister, are y'all Browns fans? Because they ain't had no Browns gear on. Like, oh, y'all Browns fans? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, come on in.
Oh, come on in, no charge.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, y'all. So.
How big was this place? Sounded like it was pretty big.
It was nice. It had a nice inside and then outside. A lot. So the traveling Texans was there.
Yeah.
And so they were all outside. So it was a nice patio. You had a area where a DJ was there and all that stuff. So. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good turnout. Shout out to the traveling Texans, man. I felt like we all were traveling Texans.
$20.
$20, man. I'm like, dang.
Like Sean said, you got to get Tony Busby on the case.
Yeah,
here, man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Watch this. These
are my confessions. I got to tell you, man, I saw one of the sadder things I've seen in a long time this morning on the way to work. And that's part of the confession. The other part is, if you are in public transportation in the city of Houston in August, you got to do better than this. So let me try to lay it out for you. So I'm driving down Houston Avenue toward I-59, and I see this dude, and he's wearing like a dress shirt and, you know, pants, slacks, whatever you want to call them, has a backpack, like clearly a dude trying to get to work. And he's running across the street in front of me to the cross street, and he's waving at the bus. Dude has to take a bus to work, all right? He's waving at the bus. The bus starts slowing down to pick him up. It's not a stop, but it starts slowing down to pick him up because the light was red. And then the light turned green and he sped up and left the dude.
Oh, man.
That is the lowest of the low. If you are in public transportation.
Oh, man.
This dude was just trying to get to work. Running. Yeah. He ran in front of us.
Yeah.
Running to get to the corner, waving at the bus, trying to wave it down. The bus sees him and tries to, you know, and slows down. I get that you're on a schedule, but you were going to stop to pick him up anyway. But then the light turned green.
Yeah. That was dirty.
Come on.
That happened
to
me a few times because I used to have to catch the public transportation to get to high school.
Yeah.
And a bunch of times they'd see me running or other people running. And mind you, it was times where it was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you trying to get to that bus
stop. This dude was already sweating.
Yeah. And then they just take off. Oh, man, I used to hate that.
Why are you doing that?
That's wrong, man.
What was clearly a hardworking man just trying to get to work.
Yeah, nah, you got to sit there and wait.
Come on. Nobody cares. I get it. You're on a schedule. It's not a stop. You were going to stop. It was clear. Like, the dude saw him. I could see from where I was.
Yeah, nah, when you see somebody running like that that's trying to haul ass, they ain't doing that for no reason.
Yes.
They ain't just doing that for the hell of it. Let them catch the bus.
Watch this.
So I saw a tweet from this girl, and when I tell you she got ratioed, people jumped on her ass over this tweet. So she tweeted, "I need an oil change and I got to pay for it myself, and this is why I will not be his girlfriend."
What?
"He offered to change the oil himself, but I'm a dealership girly. Open your pockets, Pookie."
Oh no.
Girl, ass out of here with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know how much an oil change costs nowadays?
Come on.
Like, it's like $60, $70.
$70, yeah.
Yeah, he was going to change it for you. It's so much cheaper if you change your own oil.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, I did. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I got to be honest. I don't know how to change oil.
Mm-hmm.
But once I move into an actual house and not apartment.
Put that pan
I'm going to learn how to change my own oil.
It's pretty easy.
Is it?
Yeah. It's not hard.
Yeah. I think my issue, too, like, I stay in an apartment, so I ain't trying to be at an apartment trying to change the oil. But my issue is I be on time schedule. So I be trying to get in. I be always moving. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me just pull up to this place and they do it.
Yeah. And to me, it's more time.
It's convenient. Yeah. I ain't trying to do all that. But once I get a place, I'm changing our oil.
Chris, have you changed your oil lately?
Lately, it's not due yet. But
you're still doing
it. The last time you got oil changed.
Because the last time I did it myself was probably 20 years ago. Is it harder now?
No, I mean,
it used to best be filter oil.
Yeah, it's just filter oil, and then you just got to lift your...
Yeah.
Yeah, right? How's she going to jump on him for that? That brother need to stay away from this girl.
Man, man. All right, so you heard us. The Texans are going to play their starters on Friday night. Pretty excited about that. It's going to be a nice look. Jonathan Alexander was at Texans practice today. He's going to give us all the details and tell us, like, starters are going to play, all of them, and about that tight end competition. We'll find out a little more next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Yeah, man. In the Loop right here, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, joining you and joining us right now, Houston Chronicle beat writer for the Houston Texans in the NFL, Jonathan Alexander. Jonathan, I've been wanting to get you on, man. It seems like a really good day. Pretty spirited practice out there. We'll get to some of that. But the news of the day, we got some starters, man. We got some starters that are going to play Friday night. My question that I brought up here on the air, and I want to get your thoughts, who exactly does that mean? And more importantly, who does that not mean? I mean, are we going to see some guys starting to get some reps?
Yeah, I believe that means C.J. Stroud. Players who are healthy, who have been running with the first team in practice, I think guys who haven't been practicing, like Joe Mixon and Laremy Tunsil, who are still out, and guys who may be dealing with minor nagging injuries won't play. But I think you'll see the majority of the first team players who have been out there will finally get their chance to play. D'Amico Ryan's talked about it. He said he believes in guys getting reps, and a lot of those guys who didn't play in Thursday's Hall of Fame game will finally get their chance to get out there for the first time.
Well, the big question for me, because I'm not a big advocate of the preseason games, getting a lot of reps, maybe a quarter or two, but I started wondering when I heard D'Amico, and you just mentioned it, like, are the starters going to play in another game? Or are they going to play more than a half? I mean, what would you speculate here?
I would expect one or two series for that first game. Usually you see that third game is where they get more than a quarter. But in this game, being that they have three more preseason games, I'd expect the starters to get a couple, like two series.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm what's up, man? So I'm looking at the cornerback position, and I was not really shocked, but Lassiter didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. Is it possible he could be the cornerback number two?
Oh, I think without a doubt. I think he won quarterback two battle coming out of minicamp. I think you could see how much ahead he was of the other cornerbacks that he was battling against, and Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson. Henderson missed a lot of practices in training camp, but it didn't matter who you talked to. They always talk – when you asked about who were the standouts, they always mentioned Lassiter. They always said that he took on a challenge, and he had a lot of success against – and it wasn't just against going up against second string. He was having success going up against Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Going up against Nico Collins. I think he proved pretty early on. He's one of the most ready-made rookies that I've seen, especially covering the Texans. And then, I don't think they're going to hold him back.
So, Jalen Petrie, all camp, he been playing a lot of nickel. Is he starting nickel or is he starting safety? What's going on with that?
Yeah, you know how the Texans run a base 4-3 package, but a lot of their formation is going to be a nickel. They run a lot of nickel, probably 3/4 of the time, 75% of the time. So when they're in a nickel package, they'll probably use Jalen Petrie at nickel. They've been utilizing him in the slot in most of the first team reps. And then when they go to their 4-3 package, they'll move him back to safety. And Jalen, the reason why they feel like they can do that is he did that a lot at Baylor. But the thing, really, when I was talking to some people inside the organization is they were looking at the film of who were good tacklers. And Jalen Petrie consistently, he was not afraid to go make a tackle. And they think using him in the box in the slot will help utilize his strengths and get him back to where he was when he was a rookie.
Houston Texans beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, Jonathan Alexander, joining us here. Here's the weird thing for me about Jalen Petrie. And you see that. Until today, I've been out at every practice. You've been at every practice. When they go to drills, he doesn't even think about going over with the safeties. It's three nickels working as a nickelback with the coach. Like, I mean, you just said it, and you talked to people in the organization. They could see him playing safety. I don't see how a guy that had issues at safety last year, was benched at one point, is not getting any reps at pure safety and is still going to play there.
Yeah. I think they have a lot of faith in the safeties. That's one of their deepest position groups. Kalen Bullock, we saw what he could do. But, you know, Eric Murray, you know, played well before he got hurt last year, and they like him at safety if they move Jalen back at nickel, which they've been doing a lot of. They like their players to cross, play multiple positions in case of injuries. And I think it also – the fact that Jalen Petrie's playing nickel also speaks to the fact that they don't have a ton of confidence in the guys who they signed, in Miles Bryant and Dez King. I'm not saying that Dez King or Miles Bryant might not make the team, but those guys would be starting at nickel if they had the utmost confidence in them. So I think it's a little bit by necessity, a little bit of trying to figure out how you bring out the best talents out of Jalen Petrie.
Well, you mentioned Kalen Bullock. That was going to be my natural follow-up. That dude seems to be like, it's almost like they're kind of protecting him from all the attention of being on the depth chart at number one, but he certainly is threatening, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the biggest question for Kalen Bullock coming out of college was his tackling ability. And Nick Caserio mentioned it in his intro press conference that he had to improve his strength. When I talk to people and they say they saw him on film, they said he showed up. And even D'Amico Ryans mentioned it in his press conference. He liked the way Kalen Bullock went after the ball. He ended up forcing that fumble. Now, he did mention he would have liked for him not to celebrate because the ball was right behind him when he was celebrating. But it was very eye-opening for everybody. You know, he's obviously improved this offseason. And they drafted him because of his playmaking ability and his ability to get interceptions. So if he can continue that success that he's had, I could see him easily being a contributor this season.
So we've been talking about the safety position and how We're not sure if Petrie starting at safety or how they gonna do. But we've been kind of advocating for maybe a Justin Simmons signing. Do you think that?
Why is he on the street too?
Do you think they gonna run with? Do you think they're comfortable with the safety room?
Yeah, I think given what they've seen from Kalen Bullock, I think that kind of, for that reason, I don't think they'll go after Justin Simmons. I think he's out there and I think he's an option. I do think that if he were to get hurt, that he could remain an option, in that safety room, that he could remain an option as a guy that they could sign because he hasn't signed with anybody yet. And I think he hasn't signed with anybody probably don't want to participate in training camp. You see a few guys who hadn't participated in few players. I'm not talking about Justin in particular, but few players enjoy the process of training camp. But I think that option is open, but I think right now they like what they have. They're healthy at safety. They got five safeties right now who will likely make this roster. Only four made the roster last year. So I think at this moment they don't need Justin Simmons.
One of the things we've been talking about here with Jonathan Alexander, Houston Texans beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. One of the things we've been talking about, Jonathan, is just doing the math at the wide receiver position. It's next to impossible. We know Nico, Stephon, and Tank. Noah Brown seems to have a spot. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ben Skowronek, they brought him in for a reason, and he had a pretty good game. Xavier Hutchinson flashed. Dude, that kind of makes it interesting for John Metchie and Robert Woods. Where would you agree, disagree on that?
No, I would agree with all of that. Before that game, I had, the top three as a lock, Dell, Diggs, Collins. I had Noah Brown as a lock, and I was starting to put a lock in on John Metchie because he had looked great in training camp. And then, he had only one catch for 4 yards, and D'Amico Ryans talked about it. He said he's not going to put too much stock in the game because Metchie has had a good camp, but he would like for him to produce in the future game. So I think it's going to be incumbent on John Metchie to play well. And like you said, Xavier Hutchinson is making it difficult. He plays a little bit of special teams. He led the team in receiving yards. I do think he'll have to have an extraordinary performance to beat out guys like Metchie and Skowronek, but I wouldn't put it past. I think Woods, I think he has some upside in the fact that they could trade him, and cutting him also saves money because I think Woods could still play for a team, but he just doesn't have a spot on this team as a veteran guy. So when I look at the top six right now, it's a tie between Metchie and Hutchinson as who would be that final six spot. And I have Skowronek ahead of both of them just because of his special team value and what he showed in the preseason game as well.
So Cam Akers actually did pretty good in the Hall of Fame game. Are you confident that he can possibly make this team and maybe fight for the number two running back spot? Or how you feel about that?
No, I wouldn't have him fight for the number two spot. I think if he did make the team, he would be either number three or number four. I have Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce well ahead of him, and they obviously have experience having played with the first team all this time. But I do think if Cam Akers makes his team, then I think he would threaten the roster spot of the rookie Jahar Jordan. Yeah. And I do think it's possible that they could cut him. I haven't seen the rookie make a ton of plays. He was a fifth-round pick, so you would be parting ways with a fifth-round pick. But I think you could sneak him on the practice squad. For Cam Akers, I don't think that's possible. So I could see Akers being the fourth running back. And, Dare Ogunbowale brings special teams value. They like everything that he can do outside of that.
One more for you here, Jonathan, then we'll let you get to work. But the other big story, certainly going into Friday night and the rest of this week, is at the tight end position. Obviously, Dalton Schultz is there. Cade Stover has shown a little bit. We heard D'Amico today. You were there in Ohio, kind of raving about Cade Stover. What's going to happen behind Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, I think Brevin Jordan would be number two and Cade Stover would be number three. I think Teagan was trying to make it difficult the way he was playing in the preseason game, but he got hurt. And Teagan Quatoriano has not been healthy for any of the 3 years that he's been with the Texans. And, I believe they think he's one of the better blockers on the team and obviously has some upside, but he just one of the best abilities is availability, and Teagan hasn't been available. But I think they like what they have with Brevin Dalton and Cade Stover, who obviously shows some upside. And I think he could be a factor in the passing game. Just one, he's shown that he's talented. And then he also has that connection with C.J. Stroud, having played together at Ohio State.
So you at this is the last question. So you at Nick Caserio's old high school, man. set the scene for it, man. How did that look, man?
Man, a lot of green trees, a lot of grass. it looked like a lot of wealth too, and nothing wrong with that. But it was it seemed like it was in the middle of nowhere. But a lot of green trees and a lot of grass, and the weather wasn't as humid as what you see in Houston.
No, that's good. Man, Jonathan, let's do it again. That's really good stuff. Jonathan Alexander, Houston Chronicle, joining us. Stay cool. Stay cool up there.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Good stuff. We'll dig into that a little bit here as we start around the NFL. But also, man, there's a pretty big time safety coming to the AFC South. It's not Justin Simmons, and you just heard him talk about he doesn't think it might ever be Justin Simmons with the Texans. But we're going to go around the NFL with that and maybe a big time trade for the Texans' next preseason opponent. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.